Now, this is a curious thing, but why in the world would Jesus pray for Peter? Jesus is God, right? He's God, right? I mean, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, right? Are you guys Trinitarians or no? Okay. Gee, do we need to go back to the first century? Do we need to go back and revisit the Trinitarian theology? Listen, we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, right? That's what we believe. Jesus is God. He was with him in the beginning, before there was a beginning. He's eternal, from eternity past to eternity future. Jesus is God. He is outside of creation. He is not created. Okay? So if Jesus is God, why does God need to pray to God that Peter will not give up his faith? I'll tell you why. Because prayer is powerful. That's why. I'll tell you that because Jesus is not the Father, even though he is God, Jesus prays, and prayer, the power in the prayer is that Jesus is transferring his faith into the situation, and his prayer over the situation is creating an environment in which Peter is going to be saved. He's going to be safe because of the prayer. He's praying to the Father, and the Father's agreeing with him, and in that agreement, Satan has no authority. Okay? I would think that if Satan demanded to sift Peter, that would suggest that Satan is standing, appearing before God, demanding things. Right? Wouldn't you say that? Because Peter belongs to God. Jesus prayed in John 17 that the disciples that he had, they were actually God's, and God gave them to Jesus, and Jesus was giving them back to God. You go read John 17 for yourself and get the context. They belong to God. Peter was God's. Satan stands before God and demands Peter. Why in the world does Satan get anything from God? That's an excellent question. It's an excellent question. Why does Satan get anything that he asks for from God? Yeah. He's the God of the world. He has some authority here in the world, you're saying? That's true. There's sin in the world, and he is the Lord of the prince of the power of the air, and he has some governance over the earth because of the sin of men, right? So Peter has something inside of him that gives Satan authority to ask for Peter before God. That's what you're saying. What do you think? I saw a hand back there. Absolutely right. That is absolutely right. God allows the test because he believes in the work that he's doing in the individual. But God is not taking a risk with his people, is he? I mean, that seems irresponsible. Wouldn't you say that's irresponsible? How many of you, having a child, would say, okay, let's have a pedophile come over here, and you just take my child for a little while, and let's just see, you know, what happens and stuff, and I'll take my child back, and we'll be okay in the end. Anybody? Irresponsible, right? Criminal, right? Can we accuse God of being irresponsible?
I think there's a limit to what God will allow.
A limit to what God will allow?
Yeah.
Yes, there is a limit, because the book of Job tells us that Satan asked for lots of things, and God said to him, okay, you can have this, but only so far, right? So Satan doesn't get everything he wants, clearly. Kind of freaky that he can get anything he wants, though. Does that freak you out? Yeah. Excellent. That's excellent. Did you guys hear that? God knows the limits. He knows the limits we can handle, but he knows to what level we have to go in order to completely trust in him and discover that we cannot put our trust in ourselves. Yeah. He's with us through it. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but he is with us through it. I don't know about you, but sometimes that whole concept just freaks me out a little bit, because I know people have walked through some very, very difficult things. And what confidence can we have in God if we're sitting here saying God allows us to go through this really hard stuff and somehow we've got to see His love in it? But doesn't that make you scared a little bit about the stuff that you have? Does it make you want to hold on to what you have? Some of us it does. But let me tell you this. Without fail, every single time that we have reference of God allowing people to go through trials in the Scripture, the outcome of the trial is better than anything was before the time. The only place where I find some deviance from that, and I say not, it's not really a deviance, it's just it's a difficulty for me, and that is with Job and Job's children. Job lost his children, and God restored to him a whole new family, but you can't give back the old family. So that part still has me confused, and I'm not offering any solutions for that at the moment, but I am saying that the glory of God was still revealed in the Job story, and remarkably so, because the main element of the Job story that is most important for us all to see is that Job knew about God in the beginning, but Job knew God in the end. And so that's more important than any of the earthly stuff, any of the worldly stuff, or even our families. And our families are obviously very important to us, especially here at this church. We really, really uphold the whole concept of family. But God is interested in the individual, and some of us look to our families and they become, you know, we idolize them, and that can become something between us and God. Anyway, I'm not saying that God's going to take your family away, but with the Job story, here's what I am saying, that God does glorify Himself. He shows and proves Himself to be who He said He was in the end. And that's what Jesus has said to Peter here. He said, Peter, look, I'm going to go to this place. You can't come with me right now, but you will come there later, okay? So I'm telling you, at some point you are going to die for me, but just now is not the time. You're going to deny me three times, but when you finish denying me, when you return to me, I need you to strengthen the brethren. So Jesus is telling Peter, you will deny me, but you will also return to me. So he's giving him a prophetic word that's not just a negative prophetic word, but it's a positive prophetic word. He's saying, you are going to come to completely trust me and give your life for me, but it's going to be through this valley of denial. Okay? You are going to go through a really troubling time. And Peter at first, I'm sure, was just incensed to think that Jesus thought so little of him. Jesus, how can you think I'm going to deny you? Don't you know my love for you is so great? But in the midst of that valley, I can imagine when Peter not only remembered that Jesus said he was going to deny him, but Peter also remembered Jesus said he was going to come back, I imagine that was incredibly comforting. Incredibly comforting. And I want to say, in the midst of the story, when we look at this, when we look at this whole thing and the focus has shifted from Jesus, you know, the main theme to you and me and our trials and the testing of our faith and these issues when we're confused about God and we don't know what He's doing, and we're in situations where we are called upon to either stand and identify ourselves as Christians or we back away and pretend that we're not. In the midst of those situations, I want you to understand something. The grace of God is so great that He looks at you and me. Nor forsake you.
I will not.
Amen.
He emphasizes the I will not three times. And
yeah.
God is not a man that He should lie.
Amen. Amen.
And you know Danny Stain, right? Literally, Pastor Danny Stain, his whole family died. And now those of us that have been to his conferences, his Bible conferences,
yeah,
know, with Facebook friends with him, his whole family, a lovely wife.
Wow.
It literally happened to him.
And somehow, in the midst of that, God restored something to him, and God gave
him,
well, this is the amazing glory of the Lord, in that even in spite of tremendous loss, we can still find the joy of the Lord. I wish I could tell you that putting your faith in Jesus will exempt you from difficulty. I wish I could tell you that, because I think we'd have a full church. We would. If I could genuinely tell you that was the truth, that would be amazing, and we'd be running out in the streets. But actually, what we really need to be able to tell you is that God will glorify Himself through your life. And if you will hold fast to Jesus and remember that He has promised to never leave you, and if you will return to Him with your whole heart, and you will come running to Him, and instead of denying Him in those times when you feel that you don't understand what's going on, you will learn to trust in Him, then I tell you, you will discover a power in relationship with Jesus that will have you ride above the storm, or it'll give you peace in the midst of the storm. And when the world around you is shaking and falling, you will stand. And the anchor will hold in the midst of the storm. You had your hand raised, Amanda. He chastens. Yeah, he disciplines those whom he loves. Yeah. Yeah. That's very good. Wow. Excellent point. Excellent point. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there was a time when my son was little. He wanted to do things with me that would, he felt he could help me and do things with me that would make it easier, and he felt he had the strength to do it. There were certain things I couldn't put on him, certain pressures I couldn't put on him, certain weights he couldn't carry, not because he didn't have the heart for it, but because he didn't have the strength for it. And in this particular case, you've got Peter who's wanting to die with Jesus, but he's not strong enough. And so Jesus says to him, Peter, there's going to come a day. Right now, you're too confident in your own strength. What I need to do is take away from you that self-confidence and put in you a complete confidence in my miraculous working. And when you're able to literally walk away from your self-confidence and no longer see yourself according to the flesh, whether your successes or your failures for that matter. Most of us look at the flesh and think about our failures, but some of us need to understand the flesh can also be a place of success. And sometimes when we look at the success, we think we're all that. And God is actually saying, no, you have confidence in that flesh, and I want you to have total confidence in me. That doesn't mean he's going to strip away everything that's beautiful to us. It doesn't. It doesn't mean he's going to strip away all of our strength. It just means that we've got to come to the place where we recognize that we're not special because of our strength. Our strengths and the beauty in our lives are gifts from him. They're kisses from heaven. But let us not build our expectation on those things. Let us rather be completely entrusted into the hands of God and his ability. And that's where Peter ends up. And Peter is eventually able to carry the gospel, which is the weight Jesus wanted him to carry. He's able to carry the weight of the gospel to the rest of the world because he's not relying on himself. Yeah.
Himself. He stepped up and said, I will die with you.
Yeah.
Directly behind him, all the rest of them jumped up.
Said the same thing.
He had a crowd behind him.
Yes, he did.
When he swung that sword, I'm sure he
they were right there.
Never
happened. That's right. It's absolutely right. I want you to take this. We got to wrap it up. I know you guys are just getting excited. Now you're getting wound up. Can't blame me for going late. Okay. I finished preaching 20 minutes ago. This is your fault now.
That's right.
That's right.
Now you guys get out there and start your own home churches. I'm not going to do that for you anymore.
That's right.
We're not spoon-feeding you the word anymore. Go out and go to ministry school yourself.
Amen. Well, look, here's my final comment, and then we can end it up. Satan sifts the self-sufficient. It's a good thing I didn't have a little whistle with this. Satan sifts the self-sufficient. Sifting, like wheat, you know. You ever seen wheat being sifted? Yeah. Probably not. You guys are not from an agrarian society, but they take the wheat when they've harvested it. They put it down on a threshing floor, and then they put like a big woven basket over the top of it with weights on it, and they have a donkey or an ox carry that weight over the threshing floor so it kind of crushes the grains out of the little husk and so forth. And they take all of that and they throw it up with a winnowing fork, and the chaff blows away in the wind, and the heavy stuff that falls down is the wheat. And they collect that and they keep doing this until there's only wheat left. It's a beautiful picture. I want to promise you something. God never takes away the gold. He only takes away the dross. That's worth writing down. If you're losing stuff in life, it's not the gold. Let it go. Sometimes God uses Satan to do the sifting. But don't worry, God's in charge. The old preacher said it's God's devil. Okay? Satan can do the hard work of the sifting. But what's going to be left is the grain. When you've gone through this trial, you're going to bear fruit. When you've gone through the fire, you're going to be pure gold. God never takes away the gold. God's not a wasteful God. He doesn't waste anything. Okay? I need you to trust Him. You hear me? I need you to trust Him. I think this story is the most powerful story of pastoral care I've ever read in my life. Jesus is going through his darkest night, and all he can think about is Peter. Isn't it incredible? God give us that kind of a heart, that when we're in the middle of our darkest hour, all we're doing is looking around at the people around us and encouraging them to stay steadfast in the Lord. Let's be like Jesus. But when you fail to be like Jesus, let's be like Peter, who learned his lesson. And in just a couple chapters, in John chapter 21, Jesus restores Peter. We'll get there. It's a great story. But I want to offer you an opportunity this morning to say, yes, Lord, restore me and restore my hope and restore my vision and restore my purpose. Okay? I know some of you are really wrestling right now with deep things. And for some, it's just really practical, okay? Some of you guys, it's really job-related right now. And you guys are scared and frustrated and don't understand. For some of you, it's not practical. For some of you, it's deep relational issues. Or it's your future and your purpose and who are you. And, you know, some of you have lived your whole lives, and now it's the final season of your life, and you're asking God, I don't understand. What was I supposed to have done? Who am I? And who are you? Let's pray. Father, Jesus, pray for us, Lord, that our faith will not fail. Teach us how to pray for one another so that our faith does not fail. If you needed to pray, then we need to pray. Oh, Jesus, I pray today that my friends here will stand strong. That my brothers and sisters in Christ here will stand strong. I pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen them right now in their individual seasons. Right now, everyone within the sound of my voice, Lord, I pray that they would be strengthened in their inner man, that this story will gain momentum inside of them, that they will see you, Jesus, looking at them with eyes of compassion. I ask, Lord God, that you would restore again our purpose. I pray that you would restore again the passion within our hearts to strive for that purpose, to know that purpose, to walk in the very will of God that is specific for our lives. I pray that nobody here would be lackadaisical and lose sight of what you have for them. I pray that each one of us will be stirred up on the inside to dive into the adventure with you. I ask, Lord God, that we would not fail to recognize and understand your hand in all of our affairs. And Father, I pray that we would not lose heart as we wait for that glorious appearing when you make all things new. I pray for my friends right now that are struggling and need a miracle. They need a breakthrough. They need an answer. God, I pray for that answer. And I ask that you would bring it speedily, and that you would bring it now. But don't bring it before the chaff has been burned off, Lord. before the dross has been burned off. Let there be pure gold here. Let our hearts be made into pure gold so we may never falter again. Jesus, we return to you. Do you say amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. May it be so.